Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Deontay Gear, also known as Big Sir. Here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation, we want to be the voice for the community and the prison. We seek to stay up to date with information to share with those behind bars and the loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed, and more than anything, may we all stay in prayer that this too shall pass. With that being said, let's speak. I would like to go before the Father in the word of prayer. Father God, I'm so just grateful for another opportunity to come before you. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for family and friends, Lord. Bless this time tonight, Father God. May it be helpful, Father God, to those who call in and listen. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to speak to brothers and sisters who are being impacted and to hear stories of growth and reconciliation and just your power being seen and heard around the world. We thank you so much for you, Father God, your love, your compassion for us all. At the utmost, we know that you are in control, Father, and we thank you for that. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. How y'all doing, man? So tonight we should be joined by Chad at any moment now, just to talk to us a little bit about how the coronavirus is impacting him. I believe he was recently incarcerated, so he's going to share with us a little bit about what it was like while he was in there and things like that. So just kind of give you an update on what's going on around the prison system. This is coming from Q13 Fox. About 950 non-violent offenders will get early release to fight the spread of coronavirus prisons, and that's really all across the state. So you might say it's a lot, but that's really not a lot when you look at all across the state. So, but people are being released, and all we can do is be grateful for that. Absolutely. So I won't badger that at all. There are some judges and courts blocking people from being released. I know, as I've shared a few times, my oldest brother is in prison, in federal prison, and I reached out to them and asked them what were they doing. My brother's also a nonviolent offender, and I've asked him what they're going to do, is he going to be released, things like that. And what I was told is that basically, he's not. They're just waiting on the government regulations to see who they will release. And then I asked another question. I said, well, is this health at risk there? What are you guys doing about the coronavirus pretty much? And they didn't respond. So, which tells me they may not be doing much. You know, I know my brother didn't get a mask for weeks, and he'll probably have that same one for forever. So, it's just, you know, something that I understand, and I think we all just have to be in prayer for those prisoners, man, because you know if testing is short for Americans, if masks and stuff like that is short for Americans, you know that the people behind bars are not getting that equipment. Even the correctional officers and stuff like that aren't getting it. So it's important to be in prayer for them because, like I said, man, that it will impact the community on the outside, whether we want to believe it or not, it will. So another thing from CNN, prisons and jails across the U.S. are turning into petri dishes for coronavirus. Deputies are falling ill, too. In the United States, the largest known concentration of coronavirus cases outside the hospitals isn't on a cruise ship or in a nursing home. It's at a jail in Chicago. So, once again, we, not trying to say I told you so, but we've been talking about this for like a month now, and we knew that it would hit the prisons and hit the prisons hard. I wish they would have acted sooner, but some are starting to act, which is important. But now we're getting to the point where actual fights are breaking out in prisons. Fight broke out in Washington prison. I saw some about a riot in Kansas. So these guys, they're not just going to sit down and allow you to treat them any kind of way and do nothing about it, right? So something has to happen in the midst of all of this. Like, there are so many guys that are above that 65-plus. So many guys and women are below 65-plus or have those health issues that really need to be released. But they're not releasing it for some reason. But just to read some good news, I believe. It says, in California, about 3,500 nonviolent inmates who have less than 60 days left in their sentences could be released by next Monday. And so those California, obviously one of the states with a lot of inmates in it, are open to releasing 3,500. So that's amazing. I just wanted to put some good news in there. I believe Chad may have joined. Let me check.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man? Is this Chad?
Yes, this is.
Hey, man, I'm good, man. My name is Deontay Gidd. I work with Another Chance Foundation. Also work with At Risk Youth and things like that. So, man, excited to have you on tonight. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? How did you get connected with Another Chance? Stuff like that.
Well, I'm Chad. I got connected with Another Chance just through answering an ad on Craigslist about trying to be part of a solution instead of being a part of a problem. I've been in and out all my life since 1985. I'm restarting all over again. I just got out 2.5 weeks ago, and I'm in a situation where, you know, it's kind of hard out here right now trying to find a job, but trying to keep positive, just trying to get a job. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm in. I rent from a woman who rents to people just getting out, so it's cost effective, but it's not in the greatest of neighborhoods. Just before I left, about a month before I left, when this corona came in and everything, they had stopped all visiting, and nobody's allowed really into the prison to visit anybody. Spirits are down for people in there. I'm in contact with several people. You know, they say it's getting rough in there. No recreation or anything. They're stopping. Yeah.
What are some of the people you're connected with? What are some of the guidelines they're putting in place to protect them now, or is there any?
Well, we're just safer at home. The whole state's under a safer at home order. So, you know, it's limited travel, you know, I'm unsure how they're going to help me pay my next month's rent, you know? It's like, here you go, but you don't have really much of anything, but you need a job to pay rent, but you can't go anywhere. So it's like, okay, so I'm just kind of waiting.
Yeah, that's a huge struggle. I was speaking with a lady from New York, and what she was saying is, they're releasing a lot of inmates, but they're releasing them, and then they have no resources to truly succeed. So now the chances of them going back and doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing are even high because they have no resources, and they can't get jobs because so many people are getting laid off right now. So, man, I can only imagine what you're going through trying to find a job right now. Is construction still running in that state?
It's slowed down where there's other people from other areas that have been, their jobs have been taken. They've gone back to other things. So there's 40,000 people in my state who filed unemployment. So that's 40,000 people probably without a record that I have, you know,
that are
back into the workforce. So it's like a trickle down bad, you know. I'm on the back burner. You know, but I'm really trying to stay positive. I want to stay with the program that I've developed for myself to not go back to anything that's going to lead me back behind bars.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good state of mind to stay in. You developed a specific program for yourself? Is it like documented or just like a mindset?
No, it's just it's a mantra, man. It's what I don't want to go back. So what I'm going to try to do, it's kind of all put on hold because I can't go nowhere. All the things that I had set up with, like being in part of men's groups that are out here for people who are released, you know, it's all called off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow, man. So now it's just all me, and I'm just trying to network from the house, and with what little movement I have, I'm just trying to network with people to say, hey, I'm here. I know there's other people out there that are struggling just like me, and just to stay positive. I'm not alone, even though I'm by myself right now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Are you connected with anybody still in prison right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm hooked up with the Core Links with about a half a dozen guys. There's some of them are getting out this year, you know, and they're kind of worried about what's happening, you know, out in the world with the employment and their plans. Next month, somebody's getting out after doing someone that I know is getting out after doing 36 straight years. And everything that he had planned is pretty much going to be different now because, you know, everything's shut down. And he really needs to be reacclimated into society.
Yeah, and this is not something you want to come out to.
To this, right? I honestly had a job. I had a job when I was in there. I was doing really well. I made more money than I could spend. And, you know, I went from winning to losing. And that's been my whole.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it seems like I'm losing, but I'm not locked up. You know?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. You just got to find another way to succeed, man. There's plenty of ways up the mountain for sure. It's just.
Yes.
It's definitely harder right now. But I'll tell you what, though, you know, with your mindset already, you know, if you found a way to succeed in the midst of all of this, you are going to be a launching pad for so many brothers and sisters coming out of incarceration, and that could launch you into a whole different career, you know what I'm saying? So just think about that. Like, if you could find a way to truly be successful right now in the midst of all of this, you could truly become like a mentor or a legal advocate or whatever to so many people coming out of prison. They will come to you to help them and put them on in the midst of this. So, I mean, it could be an opportunity in kind of hidden figures. So, never know.
Yeah, and that would be great. I'm all for giving a person a hand up, you know?
Absolutely. So besides the work thing, I guess, how is the coronavirus affecting you, affecting your family, people you know?
Well, a lot of my families that work at home, and they've been displaced with jobs. So it results into me because they wanted to do things with me and help me more than what they could. And I told them all to stop. I said, I want to take care of yourselves. You know, don't worry about me, you know, I mean, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
But other than still just being in the house, I mean, it affects me because I, like I said, it's just a work search right now, you know, and doing everything online. To me, it seems like you fill out job applications online, they make it more difficult than what it needs to be.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I know construction is still really big right now in Tennessee, and that seemed to be where a lot of people are going, construction and, like, warehouse jobs. So you still put your health at risk, but, you know, people gotta make income. So, you know, people willing to risk that for sure. Are you eligible for this new stimulus thing?
I don't know. I've been asking questions. I've been looking online. I doubt if they'll give me the stimulus thing, but it said something about the extra $600 a week for unemployment. I'm looking into that. I do have a possible job that I'm going to start on the 24th, as long as they lift the order, and it's the upholstery and furniture. So.
What's your thoughts on how the prisons are handling the coronavirus?
You know, honestly, you know, they could be doing more to help ease people's minds instead of just saying, basically, hey, we're locking everything down, no visits, none of this. And, you know, people are scared. What if it gets in there in the state that I'm in? What if it gets in there? You know, they already know that they're not going to get premium health care. If it gets in, you know, there's going to be a lot of casualties.
Right.
People are scared for that. People are really, really afraid for that.
So did they have masks and cleaning supplies and stuff like that where you were at?
No masks. They were actually the prison system in Wisconsin will not give out bleach, and they started giving out some bleach, you know, to at least clean. But no hand sanitizer though or anything like that. But they started giving out some bleach to the janitors. So at least there was a little minimal effort. There was some minimal effort.
Yeah. Yeah, and what were the health conditions like? Before any of this happened, because I hear some prisons are in really terrible shape, and from videos and pictures and stuff like that. Was yours, the one was you in, was it upkept pretty good or pretty bad?
No, it wasn't upkept good like that. It was, you know, they try to cut so many corners, like they haven't turned on the heat yet, or you know, they haven't. They turned off the heat already. They turned off the heat 2 weeks ago, you know, and it's like it's still cold here. I live in Wisconsin. It's still cold. They turned the heat off 2 weeks ago because that's how they do it. You know, they turn it on a certain time, and then they turn it off on April 1st. They turn it on in November 1st and only run it until April 1st. They say that's good enough. People are sick and everything. Not with Corona yet, but they'll be sick.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of weaken in their immune system. And then if the Corona get in, it make it even worse. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this. So just from talking to several prisoners and working with Tawanda, our CEO of Another Chance, I hear a lot of stories, and it sounds like the prisoners aren't really given opportunities to grow, which, I mean, they could be, and maybe it's something I'm just not hearing in prison. It sounds like the prison leadership is making it as hard as possible to succeed while you're there. Is that something that you noticed during your time, or is that just me getting all the negative information about prison?
No, I've noticed that. I've noticed that, and another thing that goes hand in hand with it, they stay divisive. They want to keep steady hard lines drawn between us and them. They don't want our feedback on anything. They just want us to shut up and do our time. And when they let us out, they let us out. Betterment programs are very few and far between. They don't offer as much education as they could.
Yeah.
And the guards talk to you any old kind of way they feel like it. That ain't right.
Wow. So what's your, I guess, what would you, this is kind of a broad question, but I guess what would you do to better that kind of image of the prisons? Is it just a whole new system of how the prison is ran, or is it just better staff? I mean, what do you think should be done?
Better trained staff,
more
awareness brought to the average person. They want to vilify everybody in prison. These are the worst people in society. No, that's not the case. The case is we've all made mistakes. Okay, everybody made mistakes.
Yeah.
We're all going to get out. We're all going to get out someday. yeah. teach us how to build a career, have a career, and understand individually what every individual needs coming out, because every individual is going to need something different. They don't they don't individualize case plans for people.
Yeah.
And more betterment
programs. Yeah, that's
programs,
a good point.
You know, more betterment programs for people, like not forced, voluntary, you know, and change the culture that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, you know, another thing that I've been kind of watching and checking out is just people's reactions to inmates being released due to this coronavirus thing. And I saw some pretty heartfelt kind of but angry towards the government for releasing inmates. And their points were, you know, don't release criminals back into the community. It's all really bad. They're going to do something even worse and stuff like that. And so there are some people that just really don't see the value of releasing inmates back before they get sick. I guess they're not really aware of what's going on in the prisons. What would you say to those people who just really don't seem to have a clue about how the coronavirus is infecting the prison system?
Right. I would say to people who have that mindset, you know, a lot of what they hear about prisoners and the prison system is fake news. They get to hear about, oh, this guy is such a bad guy. Okay, no, that's not even the case. Redemption is for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody deserves a second chance. They don't focus on that. They focus on, oh, this guy did this, or this guy just got out and did this. I understand that there's a lot of people that get out and make it bad for the next person that's getting out. It's not the case with everybody. But the media and politicians, they like to focus on that so they can justify lock them up. So now you scare a whole bunch of people about prison inmates, which is in the case.
Yeah, that's similar to my thought. Like I got a brother that's in prison now. He's a nonviolent offender, but he was already getting ready to be released this year. So I reached out to Yazoo Prison in Mississippi and asked them about releasing him. And they said they're waiting on federal regulations to come in, which they should have that by now. But then I asked him, is his health okay? How's everything going with the coronavirus kind of deal? And they didn't reply to that. So, but he just got a mask probably last week. So they did give him masks down in Mississippi, where his prison at least. I'm not sure how other prisons are doing it. Are you aware of anybody from where you came from that's in that at-risk age, 65 and older, underlying health conditions? What's the take on them? Are those people being released right away?
I'm uncertain. There were when I left a couple of weeks ago, they were in the works with doing some things for the at-risk people.
Yeah.
So I haven't asked specifically, but I'll include that in my next communication to a couple of guys that I'm in contact with.
Right.
And see what they have to say.
Man, it's possible that some inmates will get to hear this audio at some point. And what would you share to them if they're getting ready to get out? Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just developing a plan to get out. You being a guy that was in and that is out now, what could you share to them just to give them some inspiration during a time like this, but also just to help them focus on having a game plan once they get out in the midst of all of this?
I would suggest to develop that game plan, redevelop it a couple of times, and then when you do get out, stick with it. You know, it may hurt, but stick with it, because the only way that you can really, really beat these people is to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. Be very successful. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. There's so many opportunities out here. It may not sound like it, but there are really good and plentiful opportunities when there's not a pandemic going on. But
yeah,
you know,
right.
you can't make $1 million sitting in a jail cell.
Right,
you know,
you can make
all the dreams you want, but you can't make them a reality unless you're out here.
Yeah.
Everybody Happy. Locked up is worth being out there.
Yeah. Have you looked into any work with any like advocacy programs for like prison reform in your area?
I have been, and they're all in a holding pattern because nobody can get out and do anything. There was a small demonstration about a week and a half ago that I didn't know about until it actually happened. But they there was a parade around a prison downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about it until afterwards, otherwise I'd have went.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have some knowledge, man, that would be valuable to a lot of people. So I'm just sitting here trying to think of ways you could, you know, kind of search yourself and get some looks during the midst
Thank
of
you,
all of
man.
This. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, I want to do that. I want to do that.
What, you got any word to... family members of inmates, of loved ones, like, you know, how can we be encouraging our people that are on the inside during this time? What did you find most valuable from your family member during the time that you spent incarcerated?
Man, when they would just, you know, a simple card, not much, just a simple card, man. You know, I always love that. Pictures and pictures. I always loved doing pictures because it made me feel like I was more connected.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. It was never, I never tripped if they sent money or not like that. I just wanted the pictures and cards and things. Hey, you're thinking of me.
Yeah,
those
appreciate
mean more
that,
than
man.
Anything.
Yeah. So what's your overall take on this coronavirus and how it's kind of impacted the world? Like we never experienced anything like this ever. So I just like to hear different people's point of view or what they kind of think about how this happened, how it shut everything down. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how it happened, but I know we're getting ready for a new normal. And the new normal is going to be, I hope it's going to be driven to, you know, be for more conscientious about people's health, washing your hands and things like that, and to clean up the streets and just to be better, more clean like that. And I want it to actually make people closer and want to care about the next person, you know, and things like that. I really do. I would really like to see that because we're already where I can't remember the last number I heard was like 15,000 people already in this country died over this.
Yeah.
You know, and pretty soon it's going to be someone that I know.
Right. Yeah. That's
you know,
scary.
So
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would like the new normal to be for the government to lighten up on healthcare, more healthcare for impoverished people and people that need it. I know in my city right now, the hardest hit neighborhoods or areas are where I live. And those are, you know.
And that's the people that usually get left out or hit the hardest. It's always those who lack nothing. So it's weird how it always end up that way. But I know the president mentioned that at one point. And I don't know if he's actually doing anything about it, but it did come up in one of his interviews about how the poor communities are being affected more because jobs are lost and they already didn't have resources already and then they didn't really have health insurance, so they're not getting the adequate health care that they should be getting during the midst of all of this. So it's a lot of issues arising now in the poverty-stricken communities for sure.
Yeah, and that's another thing that would be great to change, to see change come out of this is these impoverished areas to be able to get lifted up somehow, you know? whether it be by government assistance, whether it be by companies that say, okay, well, since these were impoverished areas and they got hit real hard, you know, let's make them less impoverished by employing more people from these zip codes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, man. I'm definitely prayerful that something happens in the midst of all of that. Chad, well, I really appreciate your time tonight, man. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, that you wanted people to hear, that maybe we didn't get to discuss?
No, not at all. But I appreciate being a part of this, and I hope more people do start becoming a part of things like this.
You and me both, brother, man. You have a blessed day, a blessed night, and I pray that the job thing works out for you. I'll definitely keep in touch through email. Maybe I just want to know how things are going up there. And man, I'm definitely prayerful that everything works out for you. I know this is a challenging time, but God is definitely in control. And just thank you for your time tonight.
And thank you, too. You have a good one. Bye.
All right. Be blessed. Yeah, man, just another great conversation with another great guy who's, you know, experiencing some hardships right now in the midst of coming out of prison. And that is one thing that we addressed with, I believe it was Miss Renita from New York. You know, she was saying that a lot of the inmates are being released, but they don't have the resources. So for those of you who are listening to this, man, I really do pray that if God puts it on your heart to join a fight or to find a purpose to pull for, that you really think about those inmates who are lacking jobs, lacking funds, lacking resources. And in the midst of the time, we're all struggling, and I understand that, but there are people who really have nothing, nothing. And so if there's anything that we could give them, even if it just be a word of encouragement, as you see, the thing that kind of kept him through was just getting a note card or a card with picture on it or something, you know, just really seek to be encouraging during this time. Now that's one of the biggest things you could provide somebody, is encouragement, hope. Just let somebody know that somebody cares about you. Like, somebody loves you, somebody's thinking about you. That's important for people to know, especially during a time like this, when people are confined to their homes and confined to their thoughts. And if they don't have that positive mindset like Chad had, then you never know where it would go. So just thankful for his mindset, and I truly do pray that God brings him success. And so I'm going to end this time with a word of prayer. Thank you all for listening. Here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation, my name is Deontay, a.k.a. Big Sir. Let's close in prayer. Father God, so grateful for you. I'm grateful for another time with another brother, Father God. Bless his life. Bless his journey, Lord. Keep him strong. Mentally, Father God, he has a good mindset. Father God, I pray that you keep that inner peace in him, Lord. Bring it to us all. So many people are struggling right now with depression and anxiety. Father God, I just pray that you bring a healing peace over the land. May people really surrender to you, Father God, and repent of just sin and evil ways. And we all been in that boat, Father God, and we're still in that boat, Father God. All of us are in desperate need of a Savior every single day. Help us to realize that nobody's better than the other, but we all should be encouraging one another and helping one another and lifting one another up. We thank you so much for your love, so much for your sacrifice. I pray that people will realize that being a part of the body was so much more than going to a church building. And I think you uniquely removed the church building because of that. You give us the opportunity to really focus on the relationship with you and not so much put on the show for other believers, but really see how genuine our relationship is with you. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful for you, Father. I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve. And I pray that so many people hear this word and just really fall in love with the mindset to help somebody else. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. And may we always live in a way that is worthy of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed.